speaking about omens. It says Vayimi Machoros in Perek Yud Zayin Pasukov Gimel Parshas Korach. Vayimi Machoros, it was the next day. Vayav Moshe Ola Edus. Moshe came to the Ola of Meeting. Vine Parach Mate Aron LeBeis Levi. So the story behind the story is that after Korach had already been with all of his men, been swallowed up by the ground, destroyed, burnt up, etc. Right after that, it all happened. So there were a bunch of people who looked at Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron and said, "Atem Hamitem Etam Hashem, you destroyed the Am of Hashem." That these people, unlike everybody else, Moshe Rabbeinu always davened for people to do better, for them to do tshuva, etc. And this time, they go up against Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu just says, "God, kill them all, destroy them. Don't listen to their prayers." And they said, and seemingly rightfully so, "Atem Hamitem Etam Hashem, you killed them. You could have saved them. You could have brought them back. You could have let them do tshuva, and instead you killed them." So Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to prove once and for all that Aaron was the ultimate Kohen Gadol, that there was no one else, and that there would be no arguments. So they all took their matzos out, the staff that represented every Shevet. One of them stood for Shevet Levi and Aaron HaKohen, and they put it inside the Ohel Moed overnight. And overnight, Aaron's staff flowered. It flowered, and it had, and this is what happened, by Yotze Parach, it gave off flowers, by Yotze Tzitz, and they were let out buds, by Yigmol Shkedim. And then almonds grew from the tree itself. An almond tree is a really interesting tree. We're going to learn a little bit about almond trees today. It's one of the most difficult trees to grow. In fact, there are very few places in the world where you will have an almond tree. Australia, you'll have almond trees. You're going to have it in certain areas in California. But almond trees really don't grow in too many places anywhere because they require a huge amount of water. A massive amount of water. In fact, there was a whole issue in which people were saying that California should stop growing almond trees, even though it's almost like 16% of the world's exports of almonds come from California, because they take so much water. And since California is in the midst of a drought, right, not getting enough water for anything, so they think that it's just a waste of time. For every small little almond tree that you have, you need about a gallon of water for every bunch of almonds that you have in your hands. So that's a lot of water for a little bunch of almonds. So here's what ended up happening over here. Rashi tells us the word vayigmol, that line at the end of Shkedim, means the almonds became recognizable and easily seen that they were almonds. This word can be used for children as well, as in to be gomel, right? To finish weaning the child. When they mature a bit, Targum Onkel is translated as kapos, in which it seems to mean that the almonds grew in a big cluster around in the staff. It wasn't just one almond. There was a cluster of almonds on the staff itself. The Daat Zakenim says that it sounds like there were two types of flowers here. If you look in the pasuk, it says, Vine Parach Mate Aaron, and then by Yotze Parach, that there's two types of flowers that we're talking about over here. That's how the Daat Zakenim puts it. So one side flowered and stayed as it was. It became flowers and remained flowers. And if you look on the top left-hand side of your page, you'll see it, unfortunately, without color, that flowers of an almond tree are beautiful. Beautiful white and pink flowers that came out from the tree itself. That's one. And then the second flower fell away to reveal buds, and those eventually became the almonds. So there were flowers that remained on the tree, and then there were almonds on the other side of the tree from what was the flowers from before. But those flowers never went away on one side. The reason why that's so is because the Gemara in Yuma, Kaf Aleph Amud Beis, mentions that when they put things together with the Aron Kodesh and hid the Aron Kodesh, there were at least five other things that were hidden with the Aron Kodesh. Does anybody know what they were?
The mon.
The mon is very good. That's in Senes Amon.
The
broken luchos. Very good call. Aron staff. And?
Well, it's a hard one though.
Okay, you got to know your Navi for this. And since most guys here are not wearing skirts, I understand that that's not our forte. It is the treasure box that the Plishtim gave to the Jews with the golden rats and the golden hemorrhoids that they gave them after the Aron Kodesh had gone to the Plishtim for a little bit and they had taken it. Now, if you don't know what I'm talking about, you should read Navi more, right? But there were golden hemorrhoids and golden rats put in the little treasure box given, and that was hidden as well. And then there was a question what that sixth thing was, possible that it was a little daf that was on the side of the Aron Kodesh. Regardless, right, that's what was together. Over there, the Gemara says, Maklo Shel Aron, the macula of Aron was hidden by the Aron Kodesh, the Makil of Aharon, Shkadel Ufrachel, with its almonds and with its flowers, clearly from the Gemara, says the Das Kanan. Not only did it have almonds, but it also had flowers. It's not that the flowers became the almonds, which is by a normal almond tree. Here on this staff, there were flowers on one side, and the other flowers revealed almonds, and those flowers fell away, and the almonds stayed there. That's the idea of what it was. And it could be that there was only one flower to begin with, right? And the other side sprouted more flowers, which became almonds later on. That's a possibility. Vavene parach, flowers, and on the other side, flowers that became buds, that became almonds. That's what ended up being on the other side itself. The Moshe Sakeno and the Rabbeinu Ephraim, Rabbeinu Aaron, say that on another side, they were still buds as well, meaning the buds still existed. The Gemara doesn't mention that. It says Shkadel Ufrachel. It does not say Bitzitzel. And its buds remained. It seemed the buds for sure went away. But they say, the Moshe Sakeno and the Rabbeinu Aaron say, they definitely did stay the entire time. So, but either way, those buds could have been there, they could have not been there. The Ritva and the Tosi Yishanim in Pesachim say the same thing. Some of the flowers remained in order to show how great the miracle really was. They wanted to show that it wasn't just almonds that grew. There were flowers that grew with the almonds. An almond tree either has all flowers or all almonds. Almonds. It's not going to be both. So this was a huge miracle that it had both. Flowers and almonds, which was not true by anything else that never had happened before. Rav Moshe Feinstein tries to explain the remez, the hint behind this idea, where this came from and what this means. Flowers of Kedusha, you say, never wither and they last for a lifetime. Now, what do flowers represent? What do they show you? Flowers represent hard work and sacrifice that a person puts in to performing mitzvot properly, to doing mitzvot in the best way, which never goes away. Normally, the flowers go away when the fruit comes along, since in our world, right, in the world of Olam Hazeh, nobody cares about your exertion and the work you put into things. It's the result. Did you finish what you needed to do or not? It's not about the flower or the bud. It's about the almond. Did you get the almond or did you not get the almond? So in our world, we don't see the flowers. The flowers fall away to reveal the almond, to tell you that the end game is the most important thing. But by this shakil, this makil of Aaron, the makil of Aaron represented Torah. When it comes to Torah, it's very, very different. When it comes to Torah, it's the work that we care so much about, not the result. As we've said before, you could work on a sugya for 13 days. Sit there and learn every gemara, every bit of that gemara, Rashi, Tosos, Marsha, go through the Pnei Yoshua, understand all the Rishonim, and finish off the sugya and come out with Teiku. And that's it. You don't get anything out of it. The halacha is just sort of like out of a suffix, we paskin that way. And it doesn't matter, because it was all about the work that went into it to get there in the first place. It's not about the result. That doesn't matter. It's that you worked hard to get there. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, how hard you work is what matters the most. So by this makil that had these almonds forming from it, it also had flowers to show it wasn't like Aaron was just a great guy because at the end of the day he did the right thing. It's that he worked like a dog to become the Aaron that he was. He became that person that flowered as well as having the almonds on the thing itself. But that does explain, and I think we've understood this from before, Anu Amelim, the Hema Melim. Anu Amelim, Mekablam Schar, the Hema Melim, the Ena Mekablam Schar. We work and they work. We work and we get rewarded for it. They work and they don't get rewarded for it. The obvious question, what do you mean they work and they don't get rewarded for it? Every non-Jew, every person in the world works hard and they get rewarded for their work. They go to work and they get a paycheck. What does it mean they don't get rewarded for it? You mean an Olam Haba? What does that have to do with Olam Haba? They're getting schar. Everybody gets schar. Everybody gets rewarded for doing what they're supposed to do. Shot is, we work and we get rewarded for the work. Not for the result. For the work. How much time did you spend doing this? How much time did you work on this? It's not about the result when it comes to Torah. You could be a brilliant genius who gets everything in a second. You get rewarded for the second that you worked on it. That's it. Not for the result. Not for the fact that you're a genius and you came up with pshat. You come up with the work. That's it. As opposed to the other world, they work, and if they don't come out with any results, they get no schar. There's no schar for the toil involved. There's schar for the reward at the very, very end. That's the idea behind it. for what they come out with. I think that's the idea where Rav Moshe Feinstein is trying to say over here and what the point of this matzah was. It has flowers because rewarded for the work, and it has almonds because there's also the fact that Aaron came out with tremendous things at the end of the day. On the other hand, the Rashbam says, this is the Rashbam, the grandson of Rashi, that when Moshe brought out the staffs, they only saw flowers. They saw flowers on it. They said, oh, pretty staff. It was a pretty staff with lots of white little flowers on it. But in front of their very eyes, the flowers came off and the buds started to form. You know, like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen before in my life. And then as they were watching, the buds fell away and became almonds. And the people said, that's the craziest thing ever. They watched the staff change in front of their eyes. And that's why he says, being a parach matah aron levei slavi, the matah that Moshe brought out had flowers. Says Rashbam, the yotzei parach, it had those flowers showing, the yotzei tzitz, and then they saw the buds coming on, the yigmol shkedim, and then they saw it with their very eyes. They saw the almonds happening. Says Rashbam, it's obvious this has to be, because otherwise they wouldn't mention the flowers or the buds. If it happened overnight and there were just almonds in the morning, they would take it off the staff and they would see there's almonds. They wouldn't mention anything about the flowers and the buds. That doesn't matter. Says Rashbam, it must be they saw it. They saw the whole thing happening and they realized this is an unbelievable miracle. That's the reason why the pasuk says it this way. Rabbeinu Elazar Migarmiza, he's the one, by the way, that got rid of all shadim and demons from this world. If you want to check out the story, it's a crazy little story. But the Rabbeinu Ephraim also says there was a nes besoch nes, a miracle within miracles that happened over here. People suspected, I can't understand how people could have done this with Moshe Rabbeinu, but we're not living at that time and we don't understand how these people work. But people looked at Moshe Rabbeinu and they suspected him that he had switched staffs. They thought that maybe Aaron had put a staff down and Moshe Rabbeinu did a little switcheroo, right? And pulled out another staff from his pocket, right, that had flowers and almonds on it and everything like that. So therefore, the staff sprouted flowers in front of their very eyes. See, this is not a staff that Moshe Rabbeinu replaced it with. This is Aaron's staff that is sprouting flowers right here in front of you, so they would see. And that's why it says, Vayiru Vayikhu. In the next passage, it says, they saw it and they realized that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Aaron there. What's up,
Adam? The staff had flowers and more flowers?
No, it's that when he took out the staff, then it sprouted flowers.
Not that they suspected him. They,
there you go.
They could have suspected him.
There you go. And that's the point. That's how he's saying it. Exactly. Now, Rechaim Paltiel says, he asks the question, and it's really an obvious question. It's asked by a lot of different Rishonim. It should be the opposite. Normally, I don't know this stuff. I'm not one of these types of guys that know this stuff. But either way, it's supposed to that the plant buds first, and then comes the flowers, right? You work in this stuff now, I understand. Yeah, but either way, it buds first. It's not even like a bad thing. Like, it's legal, technically. But either way, so like, it buds first, and then it becomes flowers. Here, it's the opposite. It became flowers, and then it became buds. So how does that work, Super Kind Paul Teal? And the answer is, how could Sparkle purposely made it this way, that it became flowers and then buds, that people would see how miraculous it was. It was done on purpose. It was done just for that reason, because of this idea over here. That's the idea behind it. Either way, Rav Moshe Sternbach says, the point of the almonds growing in front of their very eyes, going right in front of them, was to show that Aaron's greatness was not something he was born with. This is not referring to a guy who just got up one day and was all of a sudden great. Now, there's no question. I'm going to stop right here for a second just to make sure everybody understands. Aaron was born great. Aaron was born on an extremely high level. He was not a little nobody. He was born tremendously great. But he built himself to become even greater. It wasn't like he was born on the top level and he just stayed at the top level. Thank you, Vinyl. You know what? Just put it right on the table so you can pass it out over there. Thank you. But it's not like it was there. He was constantly working on himself, constantly improving on himself, trying to make himself better, and that encouraged him. And therefore, they saw the almonds grow before their very eyes. They saw the almonds become something bigger. They saw Aaron changing in front of their very eyes of who they were and what they were supposed to be. Regardless, Targum Yonasim Ben Uziel argues on all of these pshatim. Every reason we just said, Yonas Ben Uziel argues and says it's not true, that's not what happened. Yonas Ben Uziel says it grew almonds overnight. Not that it grew flowers, but it grew almonds overnight, which means when they took the staff out, there were already almonds, no flowers. Absolutely no flowers. That happened already. All they saw were almonds at the end of the day, and that's what he says. But the Malbim says, no. It's a combination of all of our answers. The Malbim tries putting every everything together. He says, overnight, the staff went from flowers to buds to almonds. And it changed overnight. So when they took it out, it should have been just almonds. When Moshe Rabbeinu took it out, he found almonds on the staff. But there were also some buds and some flowers that remained on it. That's strange. You would never normally see all three on the same staff. That's how people knew that it was supernatural and not just a natural growth on the staff. To have buds, flowers, and almonds growing at the same time on the staff didn't make any sense to anyone, and yet they saw it with their very eyes. That's what shocked them. That's what shocked them more than anything. That's how the Malbim says it.
Yeah. One night, a staff grew into a tree. I won't even notice the
bud here. Only because we just said it. There were those that said that they might have switched it with something. They thought that maybe he pulled the old switcheroo, and that's the reason why. So this showed them that there's no way he could have done that, right? Because there were all these things on it itself. The Midrash Yelam Deinu says there were two sides of the staff. One side of the staff said Shevet Levi. The other side said Aram. The side that said Shevet Levi had nothing on it. It was dry as a bone. The side that said Aram had the flowers and the almonds and everything that was there to show that Aram was chosen out of all Shevet Levi. Not just was Shevet Levi chosen, but Aram specifically was chosen for who he was. And the Bechor Shor says something crazy. The Bechor Shor is a Rishon. He says it wasn't even real almonds. It was just something that grew quickly. But there were not almonds. The word Shkedel, the Shkedim that were there, are not referring to almonds, even though we use the word Shkedim to refer to almonds. It refers to Shukdeh. Something grew quickly. That's what happened over here. That's what it refers to over here. Regardless, that's all regarding what grew and what happened. The Balatrim says that in order to prevent the other staffs from flowering as well, anything that stays overnight near the Aron Kodesh is going to have chiyus. It's going to have life. If a metal pan would be sitting near the Aron Kodesh overnight, the metal pan would have flowering buds and it'd have almonds growing from it. Anything, says the Balatrim, would happen. So what did Aaron's staff do? He says this in Parshas Va'era, in Perek Zion Pasuk Yud Beis. He said, Aaron's staff swallowed all the other staffs that were there. All the other 11 staffs that represented the other Shvatim, Aaron's staff swallowed all them up. And in front of the people the next day, Aaron's staff spat out all the other staffs and then grew out its almonds and had everything there so that they wouldn't grow almonds or anything. Obviously, where does that come from? Where did Aaron's staff once swallow up? Obviously, by the Egyptians, by Paro. In that parak, Parak Zayin Pasuk Yud Beis, Aaron's staff swallowed up the Egyptians' magician staffs, right? All of their staffs. That happened over here as well, which is a crazy chiddush, which I didn't know. I found this here. The Balatrim says it over there.
Okay.
Yes. Correct. You're correct. Yeah, you should say it. That Aaron's staff turned back into a staff and then swallowed up the snakes. The same thing happened here. Aaron's staff swallowed up the other staffs. Whatever that means, it took on the other staffs.
11 staffs that
They were there. Aaron's staff swallowed them up, and when he took it out in the morning, the only staff that was there, it spat out the other ones. How a staff spat out other staffs? That's a great question. I wasn't there, so I can't answer that. The swallowing I'm okay with. It's clear, that's fine, right? That should be okay. One question the Chizkuni asked him over here, maybe you guys know this Gemara. There's a Gemara in Pesachim Daf Nun Dalet. This is what the Gemara in Pesachim says. He says there are 10 things that were created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. Erev Shabbos, right before Shabbos started. There are 10 things. And it mentions all the different things. And it says Yesh Omrim. Yesh Omrim, some say, the Makil of Aaron and its almonds and its flowers was created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. That was created on Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. Says the Chizkuni. How is that possible? It's clear that it only flowered and budded now, when it was in the Aaron, right by the Aaron Kodesh. But the Gemara says, clearly, Maklo Shel Aaron Shkodeha Ufracheha was created Erev Shabbos Bein Hashmashos. So what's the obvious answer? How would you answer that question?
Something created from it doesn't mean it has a different form at the time.
okay, I can say it better. Yeah, that's true. It might not have been that way.
She created and then she put on the staff.
Give me another example of something that was created of Shabbos Ben Hashemashes. Give me an example of something that was created then.
The what?
The donkey. The mouth of the donkey.
Yeah.
That it was able to speak. The mouth of the land. The mouth of the land came out right over here in Parshas Korach as well. That mouth of the land wasn't created, so to speak, then, but the ability was made at the time. Right? So it's over here. The idea of the makil, the pia of the donkey as well, the mouth of the donkey. The donkey didn't speak on the sixth day of creation. It was created that there would be a koach to do so. So to over here, it's the exact same thing. Says the, I would assume that that's the easy answer for the Chizkuni itself. I saw the Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky ask the exact same question. First of all, I find it a pillow that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky didn't quote the Chizkuni. I would assume that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky had the Chizkuni, a Rishon, to be able to ask this question. I'm surprised he didn't mention it. Second of all, I don't understand why he doesn't get this answer. I think this is the most obvious answer out there, that the koach was created, but it's not something there. It's just obvious. Not only that, I found a sefer called the Tzedek L'Derech. Tzedek L'Derech is one of the Yud Aleph Meforshei Rashi. There's that Chumash that's the 11 Meforshei Rashi you might have gotten through your bar mitzvah. You never knew it existed, but then you went to Israel and you came back and you're like, hey. So in that Yud Aleph Meforshei Rashi, there's a sefer called the Tzedek L'Derech. Tzedek L'Derech quotes this and says, the Chizkuni got it wrong. Because the Gemara doesn't quote the Makkel of Aaron. It just says Mate, and it's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu's Mate. It's referring to Moshe Rabbeinu's staff. So, I don't know what's going on here, because every Gemara Pesachim that I looked at, said Maklo Shel Aaron Shkadehu Ufrachel. It said it straight out. He's quoting a Rashi. The Tzedek L'Derech is quoting a Rashi over there that says Makkel and Rashi Mate, and Rashi says it's the Mate of Moshe. And there is no such Rashi. Rashi is this. So I tried looking for one of those Gemara, the Masifta Gemaras, to see if he brought up anything on it, but I couldn't find it anywhere, and whatever, I wasn't really searching that hard. I'm sorry? And that's the problem. The Tzedek L'Derech is asking on the Chizkuni. I don't understand what you're talking about. The Gemara doesn't say that. So our Gemara says that. So I don't know what Gemara the Tzedek L'Derech had. I don't understand. Tzedek L'Derech is a 16th century author, 17th century author, 1600s, who wrote on Rashi, specifically on Rashi itself. I don't know. I don't know what to say for that. I will tell you, I found a Shach Ala Torah that I think answers the question by accidentally mentioning something else. The Shach says that Aaron, the point of us knowing this is that some might think that Aaron only became a Kohen after it was decided after the Egel Azov. The Egel Azov happened, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu was like, fine, I'm going to make Aaron into a Kohen. That's not true at all. That's not true at all. Aaron was always supposed to be a Kohen. The proof is that some say that the Parshios are in order. So, Truma, Tetzaveh, Kisisa, Vayakel, Pekudeh. Tetzaveh, we talk about the clothing of the Kohen Gadol, and it mentions Aaron HaKohen. And that's before the Egel Azov. Even though the firstborn were still going to serve in the Mishkan, the firstborn, the Bechoros, still had the jobs in the Mishkan itself, Aaron was always supposed to be a Kohen, says the Shach. I'm sorry?
Isn't Aaron a Bechor?
I don't happen to be... No, Miriam.
Miriam.
Yeah. But nonetheless, Aaron would have been there as well. How do we know that? The proof is in the pudding, as they call it. Aaron's staff was made on the sixth day of creation, Bein HaShemashos. That staff proved that he was always supposed to be a Kohen. Even from the sixth day of creation, he had been made to be a Kohen Gadol. It was always going to be that way. And therefore, the idea behind it is like this. So too with Aaron. The idea, says the Shach, is the flowers were there at the beginning of creation, but the fruit grew later. That's a problem because the Gemara Pesachim still says Shkadeha Ufracheha were made on the sixth day of creation. The Shkadim, the fruit was made on the sixth day of creation, but the Shach says no, the flowers were made, the Shkadim came later on. Okay. Why almonds? What's so special about almonds? We've been talking now about what happened on the staff itself, but why specifically almonds? Where did that come from? The Ibn Ezra proof says from there that this proves, right, there are those that say that this proves that Aaron's staff came from an almond tree. That Aaron's actual staff was an almond tree staff, and that's why it just grew that which it came from. Says Ibn Ezra, there's no proof to that, and it doesn't say that anywhere, so he doesn't want to say that. Instead, he says it's from the Lashon. Shokid ani al dalsosai. Do you know what the word shokid means? The word shokid ani al dalsosai. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. I'm knocking, begging to get in, like sort of like my heart is pounding that I want to get in. I'm pushing myself to get in. That's the idea. Shokid ani is, so to speak, the reason why we use shkedim is because the Lashon shows how much love God has for us, or how much we want to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So it's really, it didn't have to be almonds. It's that the word almond in Hebrew was the perfect word to describe Klal Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Ibn Ezra's answer. That's how he answered. Rabbi Yonah Zaychitz, crazily. Yeah, Ali. Even now, even when God was angry, still loved us like nothing else. That's the idea behind it. There was still a love that we would never be able to get rid of. That's the point. That's exactly the point. Now, the Rabbi Yonah actually says it takes 21 days for almonds to grow. Somewhat of a true statistic. We don't see that in all of our almond trees today, but I don't know what they're starting from. It depends on what the starting point is. There is something that is 21 days altogether in which almonds grow. In this case, you could say that each day became an hour. 21 days became 21 hours. So from the time that Moshe Rabbeinu left the staff inside the Aron Kodesh and then took it out 21 hours later, this is a Kiddush, Rabbi Yonah Zaychitz says, but he took it out 21 hours later, that's how it grew. 21 hours instead of 21 days. That's how he ended up saying it. I'm sorry?
Back then, the days weren't necessarily
24. What do you mean? In the 6 days of creation, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, but this isn't the 6 day of creation. This would have been 24:49.
Yeah, but even then, it's not.
No, you'd assume it's still 24. I hear what you're saying. You're saying because people lived longer than what we see people normally live today, 147. Yeah. My assumption is that the Torah is telling you they lived 147 years of our years and our days. I don't see why we should say otherwise. If there's any other way to learn it, okay, whatever. Obviously, that's up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to tell us later on. But right now, just assume that 147 means 147, no matter that it seems so impossible to us that a person could live that long. I would assume that way. You want to go all the way to Mesu Shelach being 969 years, or, you know, Noach being 930. Those are hard things to understand. Right? Maybe then you could learn it, but it seems that it's always been 24 hours. That's the assumption. Rashi says, based on this, that almonds flower quicker than any other fruits. Everyone will know. If you argue on the Kuna, you argue with Aaron HaKohen, you will be punished immediately. And that actually shows through Uzziah. Uzziah was a king of Israel. He got up and he said, I'm serving on the Mizbeach. He got up, went up to the Mizbeach and wanted to go up there and to serve. He was going to bring the Korban on the Mizbeach. And the Kohanim were yelling at him, don't do it, don't do it. And when they were going to stop him, all of a sudden Saras sprouted out on his forehead. He had Saras that came out on his forehead. And they said, look, you have Saras on your forehead. And Uzziah stopped. He wouldn't bring the Korban. He went down and he actually took himself away from being king. His gaiva, his ego, his pride told him, you're the king. You can do whatever you want. Go be a Kohen Gadol as well. And when the Tzaraat knocked him down, he realized he couldn't do it anymore. He was punished immediately. That's what it says. That's how Rashi puts it. Punished immediately. That's what happens because the Shekade is such a quick fruit. You argue with the Kuna like Korach did, you will be punished immediately. Rabbeinu Bachaya says that's why in Hebrew it's called Shkedim. They're Shokate to come out so quickly. That's the idea. And I don't know if you listen, I'm not a big almond guy. Apparently, almonds, when they're not yet ripe, are very bitter. And at that point, you eat the shell. You don't eat the almond seed, although technically an almond is not a seed. It's something else. I forgot what it's called. Again, we need a horticulturalist. So, but until that point, the outside shell is what you eat. That's a little bit, but they're called bitter almonds, right? And when it grows a little bit further. So he says, the bitter almonds, says the Rebbe Bachaya, represent the midas adin that you get if you argue on kahuna. You argue on kahuna, you're going to get that midas adin that knocks you down very, very quickly. I'm sorry?
The first part of the almond, which we don't eat, that's
I think that's it, right? The outside.
Yeah,
so you can't eat the inside when it's still unripe, but the outside you eat, and that's the bitter part, right? But later on, the outside becomes too hard to eat, right? And that's that. If you look on page 2, I actually have the shell and the almond. That's an unripe almond on the inside and a shell on the outside. So that'll show a little bit of what it's supposed to be over here. So either way, regardless, how do we know this wasn't what Aaron davened for? Maybe Aaron davened that there should be almonds. Maybe he just davened, I want almonds because I really like almonds. Maybe that's what he loved. You know, he was an almond guy. Maybe that's what it was. The answer is because Aaron would never have davened for something that would grow quickly. Because what would the people say? They'd say, oh, almonds. Almonds grow so quickly. He would have davened for an esrog that takes 3 years to grow. That's what he would have done. Because he wanted to show everyone that he's the one that was chosen and not anybody else. If anybody would have davened for anything, they never would have davened for almonds. So the fact that there were almonds, says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, must be for a certain reason. to show when the punishment is coming or something like that, because nobody would have said that in and of itself. The Kliyakar says, though, based on the way that you make almonds, the way that almonds are grown, since almonds need tons and tons of water, he specifically chose an almond to come from Aaron's staff because obviously water represents Torah, mitzvot, etc. And that represents that the person has to be filled with Torah and mitzvot in order to be the Kohen Gadol, in order to be Aaron HaKohen. You cannot have an Aaron HaKohen without it. And he goes into the different buds and what it does and everything like that. Rav Schoenbach says that people never questioned Aaron's greatness. That in fact, they went the exact opposite direction. Aaron's too great. He's not able to help us because he's beyond the regular person. Well, we can't relate to a guy like Aaron. He's too great. He's too far out there. And I know that the Gemara says that Aaron was Mason Shalom Bein Bnei Adam. That he made peace between different people. And he went around trying to help people to become friends with each other. So you see that he was with the people. That may have been later. In the beginning, it could be that Aaron was untouchable. That Aaron was seen to be this great guy that nobody could go anywhere near. And only later on did he do that. I don't know. But according to this Kliyakar, it was that, according to Rick Sternbach, I'm sorry, it's that an original Aaron was considered too far out. And this almond tree shows, no, Aaron's just like you. He's just grown too much. The same way we said before, that he grew slowly but surely. Aaron grew slowly but surely, and anybody could do the same. The Chedisha Rim says this well, but the Chedisha Rim says something a little bit different. You could check it out over there. The Bala Turin talks about this. I'm going to skip this as well. He says there were three people punished for arguing with the Kuna: Korach, Uziah, and Yerovam ben Nevat. I have no idea where Yerovam ben Nevat argued with the kahuna. I would love to find this. I tried looking it up, you know, offhand. I spent about an hour on it, but it wasn't enough time to be able to really look at it. I looked up where they were quoting. I have a Bala Turim that has all the notes in the bottom. Perek Yud Gimel Malachim Aleph, it talks about Yerovam. Yerovam ben Nevat did yell at a Navi and told the Navi to get out of here. The Navi could have been a Kohen, but he wasn't arguing about the kahuna. He was arguing with the Kohen because this Navi was telling him you can't bring korbanos to other gods. And he screamed at him, put his hand out to go kill him, and his hand withered. And he had to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to get the use of his hand back. That's what it says in Yud Gimel. At the end of Yud Gimel, it says that he brought other people to become the people that brought his korbanos, that brought it on his mizbechos, on his bamos. There were people out there. But I don't see Yerovam arguing with Kuna. I also don't see him getting punished immediately, which is weird. Yerovam was not punished. The only time he was punished immediately is when his hand withered. But it doesn't seem to be because of Kuna. So I don't know what this is. But the Baal HaTorim says that Yerovam ben Nevat also argued on the Kuna, and apparently he was punished immediately as well, but I don't know what that means exactly. There is an etziva over here as well that goes through, but we're going to skip that as well. Rav Hirsch. This Rav Hirsch is possibly one of the best Rav Hirsches I've ever seen. So brilliant in how he says it. This is what he says. All fruit trees seem to be basically the same. They produce leaves, blossoms, and fruit. The earth helps them grow. Rain comes down and helps them grow. The wind and the sun help each one bear and give forth its fruit. Nevertheless, the almond tree stands out more than any other fruit tree in the world. Why is the almond tree different? Why is it unique? It ripens its fruit before its leaves. Does anybody know why a regular fruit tree gets leaves before its fruit? What's the point of having leaves? Very good. That's exactly it. Protection. You have leaves protecting, and then the fruit comes out, and since the leaves are there, it protects not only from the sun, but from other animals from seeing it. It allows the fruit to grow bigger before it's there. I remember when I was a little kid, my Zadie used to grow strawberries in his garden. He would never have strawberries. Never. Why? Because I was a little kid. And I would go there all the time. And when the strawberries were just coming out, those tiny, tiny little strawberries, when they were coming out, I would eat every single one of them. My daddy had no idea. And he would always ask. He could never figure out. He eventually stopped growing strawberries because he thought, I can't grow strawberries. It must be the Chicago climate. But it was all me. 100% me. I would eat them every single time because I got around them. Leaves grow to make sure that doesn't happen, so you don't even see the fruits. Almonds don't do that. Almonds grow their fruit, their buds, and the fruit, the walnut itself, grows before the leaves grow around it. That's the crazy thing about almonds. It starts blossoming before anything else. That's its uniqueness. It's called shakade, in that it quickly ripens, meaning it gives birth its fruit, it gives forth its fruit before it does anything else. That's the craziness of an almond tree. That's why it's different from everything else. That shows you how devoted and keen it is to its job. That's the description of Shevet Levi, the spirit of Shevet Levi, that they represent Torah and they serve in the Mishkan. They act with Tzrizus. They respond when Moshe Rabbeinu asks, Mi Hashem Elai, who's with me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? They lead the way before everyone else, just like the almond tree shows its buds before any other tree shows their buds. They allow themselves to be shown, the fruit is shown before anything else. So too, Shevet Levi leads the way in front of all of Klal Yisrael to show, here's what we gotta do, come guys, let's go, this is what we have to do. That's the remez of almonds blossoming on Aaron's tree. That's the idea behind it. A couple of Ramazim over here. The Baal HaTorim says, Shkedim is a gematria of Chashmo Noyim. Chashmo Noyim. To represent the job of Aaron eventually in this world. It's missing an Aleph. I don't know why exactly, but that's what the Baal HaTorim says. The Marik says it represents the Levium themselves. The Shach says there are two types. There are bitter ones and sweet ones. The bitter ones represent Shevet Levi that are eaten on the outside, but the inside is not there. The sweet ones represent the Kahuna, which is sweet on the inside, but not necessarily on the outside. It's an interesting Sfasam. It talks about interpretation in days. There's no reason to go into that, but that's that. There's a Rabbeinu Refaim that says, Parach Tzitz Shkedim is the gematria of Malchus Beis David. And obviously that's wonder, because we're talking about Aaron's staff, not Yehuda's staff. So why would we talk about Malchus Beis David? But the Chidah says that Korach's eventual tikkun, his eventual life to be, his Tchias HaMesim will happen when Mashiach comes. That's what's going to happen. So he says, Tzadik Katomar Yifroch. You've heard this before? Tzadik Katomar Yifroch. A tzadik will blossom like a date palm. Tzadik is a kuf, katomar is a resh, yifroch is a chet. The last letters of each word is korach. And according to this chidah, korach is going to come back at the end of days. At the very end, he'll come back by the times of Mashiach, and maybe that's why the Aaron staff sprouted out with these flowers to show everybody that korach will come back. The korach will have tshuva at the very end of the day.
That's
where it's written by B'nai Korach, right? I'm sorry? Lamed Korach. Very good. L'bnei Korach needs more. And Mem Ches and Mem Zayin. I'll tell you, this is specifically for you, Benjamin. I'll just give this to you. The Ben Ish Chai has three Sfarim that talk about the Shkedim in Kabbalah. In Od Yosef Chai, Adaras Eliyahu, and Ben Yahu. I am proud to say that I did not understand a single word of any of those three Sfarim. I went through all three. I did them twice. I did not understand it. I even went over notes that I wrote 8 years ago on the Od Yosef Chai paper that I had written on this thing, and I have no idea what I wrote. No clue. So I'm very proud to say, no clue. I guess when you get older, you start to realize that you really don't understand what you're reading. I don't know what he's talking about. Absolutely nothing to do. But if you want to look up something awesome, all three of them are unbelievable over there. It's hard to find the B'nai Yahu. You have to find it in Eretz Yisrael. But either way, regardless, it's not the B'nai Yahu on Shas. It's the B'nai Yahu on Chumash. He wrote one on Chumash as well. But that's there as well. The Torah Shlema says this staff that Aaron had was the same staff that Yehuda gave to Tamar. Remember, Yehuda had a staff that Tamar took for her payment for what she had done? Call it Kedushin, I guess you could say. Yehuda's staff was passed down. Eventually, it became Aaron's staff. The tzitz that it says over here, the buds that came, is not buds. You know what it was? On the staff was written Yudkei Vavkei. And that shame of Hashem, of Yudkei Vavkei, was like what's written on the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. Like it says Kodesh LaHashem on the tzitz of the Kohen Gadol. That's what was written down on the matzah itself. And that staff will be in the hands of Mashiach LaOsig Lavo. That staff, which is by the Aron Kodesh, which is Gunus, and we don't know where it is nowadays, it's going to be taken out by Mashiach Ben David, and he's going to use the flowered and almond staff together with the shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu on it. He's going to show in front of everybody. I'm going to end off with this. We're going to end with this last piece. Chaim Kanievsky says, what bracha would you make on the almonds of this staff? What bracha would you make? So first of all, what bracha do you make on almonds normally? Why? They grow from a regular tree. Okay? But that's if it grows from a tree that grows from the ground. And we all know that anything that grows from a tree, if you make hadama on it, you're yotze. Why are you yotze if you make hadama on it? The tree also grows from the ground. So it's obvious you can make hadama and hadama. But here, the almonds did not grow from a tree, nor did it grow from the ground. It grew from a staff, right, that was already a dead stick. So what bracha will you make on this? What do you got, Moshe? I'm sorry? Ooh, very good. Very good. There is...
I'm thinking like hydroponics.
The Chazanish. The Chazanish says the exact same thing. He says that. Treat it like hydroponics. He doesn't talk about... I shouldn't say that. He doesn't talk about the staff of the staff over here, Rechaim Knievsky says, well, the Chazanish says on hydroponics, he says, since that's the normal way of growing these fruits and vegetables, even though it's in water, it's not from the ground technically, he says it's possible that it could be still termed ha'etz or ha'adama. The Chazanish says that. The Chayyadim does not hold that way. The Chayyadim says it's for sure shahakal, like mushrooms. There's no question it's like mushrooms. That's how the Chayyadim says. But the Chazanish says it's possible to refer to this. On the other hand, this is something different. This is growing from wood, not from the ground technically, or even from the air around the ground. It's growing from the wood itself, dead wood. So says Reb Chaim Knievsky, it's possible you could still make a Borei Priya Eitz on it, because it is fruit of wood. So why not make Borei Priya Eitz? But you would not be Yotze if you made Adam on it. Now again, I'm not saying that anybody should go up to the staff of Aaron when Mashiach Ben David brings it along, right? Start pulling off some almonds and chewing them, saying, Baruch HaTov Hashem. Okay. It's probably not the best idea to be able to do. It's all in theory. It's all theoretical. But the Sefer HaChassidim, number 1640, brings down that they made the bracha of Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShamayim on the mun. They made Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShamayim because it didn't come from the ground. It came from the heavens. So Hamotzi Lechem Min HaShamayim. So he says maybe the same thing would apply over here as well. Hamotzi Shkidim Min HaShamayim. That's the bracha you would make on it. But in the end, he bribes Sarachian, and it's okay because it really isn't Lamaisa. There really is not much Lamaisa over here. You get Schar, not for the answer, but for all the work that goes into it, the toil that goes into it. So Chaim Knievsky doesn't have to have an answer over here. You can bribe Sarachim, and that's okay. So again, what do we do over here? We said we explained how these almonds formed on the staff itself. We gave out 8 answers for that. Then afterward, we went into the Gemara in Pesachim. What does it mean that this was made Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos? Then we said why specifically an almond tree. We gave about 9 answers for that altogether. We spoke of the Balaturim, where Hershey's grape shocked. Then a couple Ramazim, the Balaturim's Ramaz, the Shach's Ramaz, the Rabbeinu Ephraim's Ramaz, the Ben Ishchai, and then finally Reb Chaim Knievsky's question of what bracha to be able to make on this. Shalom, everybody. Have a great Shabbos.